Welcome to the Arise Podcast. I'm Tanya Anderson, CEO at Arise, and I have with me today Sister Barbara Jean Donovan, who is one of the volunteers in our Ombudsman program, and you've won a very special award, but first I'll say thank you for coming and welcome.
Well, thank you very much. I'm happy to be here and talk about what I love, the Ombudsman program.
I'm so happy to hear about it, too. So, the Ombudsman program, we've done a couple of podcasts about, and really it's a crucial service that we have here at Arise in terms of just having trained volunteers like yourself and staff that regularly visit nursing homes, other sorts of facilities to make sure that the rights of residents are respected, that any complaints or issues they might have are promptly resolved, and just to make sure there's a friendly voice. Is that how you describe Ombudsman?
I think so. That's pretty accurate as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, good. Phew. So, Barbara Jean, you have been in this program since January of last year, 2023, as a volunteer.
That's correct.
And coming up in May, you're going to be recognized as one of two people in New York State to receive a volunteer award, Volunteer of the Year award. So let me get this correct. It's Long-Term Care Ombudsman of the Year. You're one of two honorees statewide.
That is correct, and I am very honored by this.
Well, congratulations. I am just thrilled that your work is being recognized in this way. And can you tell us a little bit about what attracted you to this program as a volunteer opportunity about a year and a half ago?
Well, I was looking for a second life after many years of responsibility in health facilities, nursing homes, and assisted livings and hospitals and an adult daycare in various states for over 40 years.
Wow.
So when I no longer had those responsibilities, I thought my next life has to be using the experience that I had. So I had been working with the elderly and with the sick, except children, for all those years, and I went on the website for the Department of Aging and somehow came up with the Ombudsman program. So I listened to all the wonderful information on the website and made a call and talked to the director of the program, Rebecca Elder, and the rest is history, I guess.
It's all good history, too.
It is excellent history.
So this sounds like what we're doing with your skills in the Ombudsman program is a real natural extension of what you've been doing your whole career.
Yes. It's very different, though. One of the things I learned in the Ombudsman program, it is for the resident, and again, for the resident. So I could go in and try to tell the staff what to do or try to solve the problems myself. I'm the vehicle with my knowledge and the complaint from the resident that helps with the solution by talking to the staff and working with the staff in the facility.
Okay, so I'm trying to draw out that distinction a little bit more. So in your prior work in different facilities working with the elderly, it was not for the patient or the resident? How is it different?
I was the president of the hospital, the administrator of nursing homes, and the president also of adult daycare. I said do this.
Okay.
The
so
distinction is that if I see something or a resident complains, I do not go to the staff and say, fix this, do this. I go and say, the resident has given me permission to talk to you. This is what needs to be solved. How can we do that together?
Right. Okay. So it really changes the lens in which you look at a problem.
That is correct.
Wow. And what's been your experience in shifting that lens?
Very difficult, I must say, because I'm used to saying, get it done. Do it this way. And I have become a better listener because I listen to the resident. I remember all the rules of the program, which I learned from Rebecca, and then try to figure out, using my experience and the the history of the floor that I'm on at the nursing home, what would work the best? Because one of the things that's important in getting the complaint resolved is to still have a friendly relationship with the staff that you work with to get it resolved.
Yes, and I think we can't emphasize that enough, that in all areas of advocacy, whether it's for people in a nursing home or students in the public schools or working with businesses about access, whatever it might be, being a strong advocate and also maintaining a relationship of mutual respect is just critical.
I believe that is true, and what I try to do on each of the floors that I go to is to walk around on every visit, every corridor, say hello to every staff, to all the residents that I see, so they're accustomed to having me there not as a problem person, but as a familiar person, and then when there's a problem, it's easier. And one day, one of the residents asked an aide who I was, couldn't figure out who I was walking around. She said, oh, that's a lady that comes to find out if the residents are all happy, because that's what I told them. And that is kind of my own philosophy of how I deal with the issues.
I think that's a great way to look at your role, actually, because you're a partner and you are an extension of the residents. Is that how you describe it?
I would think, yes.
Yeah. So you've been doing this work for over a year. You're obviously very good at it because you're being recognized by the state. Can you tell me a little bit about just some of your experiences in working with particular people, any stories that stand out in your mind?
I have found that most people in the nursing home that I visit and the floors that I visit are happy. And I think the security of being in a building where there's help is wonderful, and they appreciate it. What isn't wonderful, it's not the way they used to live before they went there. So there's a big rub as far as, I can't do this my way at this time. I can't have this kind of food I want to eat. There are also many residents who have no one to visit. They have no family at all, or they have family that's far away and doesn't care and doesn't visit. So what I try to do is learn enough about them and their issues to be supportive and friendly. And most of the problems that I've had, some have been, like I attended a care conference that was very difficult because it had no solution. And there are some people that no matter how you handle complaints, there is no solution. But for the most part, I think what I do is help change lives by getting some simple things like, can you take care of the bottles, the empty bottles in my room that the staff complains about because I have nobody to recycle them for me? Someone else said, would you please pray for me because I have this pain all the time? Somebody else said, oh, it's so good to talk to you. Nobody talked to me today. Everybody's too busy. And there are some family issues that I get involved in very carefully. I think there's such a difference of personalities, ages, backgrounds, that each person comes with their own need, and I just try to respond to that. Some people never want to be bothered. Others always want to be bothered. And I guess the most I can say is I'm there for them. It's the resident, and again, the resident that right. makes the difference.
No, there's a lot of wisdom in what you're saying, and there's a lot to unpack there, too. And I think it goes back to what you said about listening first and really making an assessment about what's going to be, what does that person want from you? Is it a listening? Is it a companion? Is it an advocate about a particular issue? And it's all, or not to talk with you at all. It's a big range. So Tell me a little bit about, you had mentioned that some people have a real problem making an adjustment. And I can imagine it's a huge adjustment for people who have, been independent in their own home, whatever their circumstance might be, to all of a sudden be facing pretty significant limitations that institutional care presents. How do you help people just process that?
I guess one of the examples I could give on that would have to do with food. The facility that I volunteer in has almost 550 residents each day. If you can imagine cooking for 550 people, it's a monumental task. So somebody was complaining to me, oh, this food, it's terrible. It's the same old thing all the time. Why can't they give us something different and better? I said, do you know how many people live in this building? She said, I have no idea. I said, well, today on the census, there were 541 people in this building. She gasped and she said, I had no idea. And I said, does that make a difference in understanding why the food has a pattern to it? She said, now it makes sense. Maybe I won't be so critical. Mm. And I thought that was a really good thing.
Right. Do you ever taste the food to make sure it's okay?
Yeah. No, I don't taste it, but I look at it every day. And I try to get there at the end of the breakfast. And most people love breakfast, not so with the other meals. But most people love breakfast, and I comment on it, and then they tell me they like it or they don't. But I look, how is it served? Is it hot? Do they tell me it's hot? Does it look good? Mm-hmm. Is it served right? Do they have the utensils to eat it safely?
Right.
And all those things.
Right.
And is the coffee hot? That's the number one issue.
Yes, hot coffee is important. So you're visiting with people, but you're the eyes and ears just checking out the whole scene.
The approach I took, maybe because of my experience, I don't go in and say, do you have any complaints? Initially, I did till I got the lay of the land and they got the lay of me. But I just walk around and I can tell who has a complaint. If I think there's one, I say, are you doing okay today? Which I say to almost everybody. But do you have any complaints? And they know what I'm there for the most part.
Right.
They don't remember my name, but I have two floors of memory care, which are, I have to say, the most fun of all. Everybody speaks so poorly of memory care floors, but if you take the time, almost everybody speaks to me.
So let's talk a little bit more about the memory care. So I think you just said that part of what it is more fun is that you take some time with them. What's another part of the memory care floor that you enjoy?
I enjoy their interaction with each other. The facility I go to works very hard to engage those in memory care in different activities that they're able to participate in. And some of them have very strong memories of histories, their own histories. Like the other day I was going by and two residents were engaged in this conversation. And I went over and I said, oh, what are you two talking about? Looks like you're very interested in this conversation. And they said, oh, I'm telling him about my dog Holly. Mm-hmm. And my dog I just really loved, and I'm teaching him the same thing. Wow. So it was, to me, that's a wonderful thing that I can be a part of the joy that they have.
And it's truly in the moment.
It is always in the moment.
Yeah, right. So I think for a lot of people, the thought of going on a regular basis to a nursing home when it's not to visit a family member or someone that you know seems intimidating. A lot of people are afraid of nursing homes. What would you say to someone who just might be thinking, why would I go there if I don't have a reason compelling me to go there?
I feel very strongly that nursing homes get a bad rap because, in truth, nobody young and independent or old and independent would choose to go to a nursing home. But the people who go there need help. And when that help is given in a safe environment like a nursing home, it's a wonderful blessing. So anytime anybody says, how could you do that, to answer your question, I say, you just have to go and talk to the people. And you will find joy. You will find thankfulness. You will find loss. You will find sorrow. But you will also find a quality of life that never would have happened to them outside of the nursing home.
Wow, that is so well said, and thank you for expressing it that way. The other thing I want to know is you have a very specific background and skill set and knowledge. What if someone listening to this is thinking, you know, I don't have a history in healthcare. I don't really have an expertise with the elderly. How do I become an ombudsman?
I think the basic answer to that question is, would it give you energy? And I guess one of the ways is to talk to the program director about what it means and even possibly visit. Not everybody is made to be an ombudsman in a health facility. Some people can't look at people over 25, you know. So I think what gives you energy? If you can find energy with the sick, if you've ever cared for a family member, you know how that made you feel. If it helped you to care for a family member, or if you volunteered in other organizations with people who are sick or people who are old. You know, some people don't like old people. They just don't. Right. But wait till they get there.
Right.
But I think it's a choice. One of the things I think in volunteering is you have to use what your experience has taught you in some way.
Right.
And if that fits into the nursing home structure, it's wonderful.
Right. No, again, that's so much wisdom in what you say. And in terms of any activity in life, really, whether it's volunteering or whatever we do, looking to the energy that it gives us and the basic skill of just moving around the world and listening to each other and respecting each other, that's true in a nursing home. It's true everywhere. So, and you obviously do it so well. It's been a real joy speaking with you, and congratulations on your award. And I hope that you continue to work with our ombudsman program for many, many more years.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks for the opportunity to share my thoughts.
Thank you.
For more information on how you can support Arise, visit our website at ariseinc.org. Support Arise. Support independence.